Hello, and welcome to Scientists in the Spotlight, a special series in Tox Chats, a podcast program presented by the American College of Toxicology. We are Ashley McCord and Carolyn Moore, members of the Early Career Professionals Subcommittee, also known as ECP. This podcast interviews various toxicologists to learn about their unique career paths and what advice they have for early career professionals in toxicology. We believe everyone has an interesting story to share and are excited to learn about what led people to a career in toxicology, how they got to where they are in their career today, and what they love and don't love about their jobs.
Today, we'll be interviewing Dr. Doug Learn, who is currently the Director of Toxicology at Charles River Safety Assessment, Horsham, Pennsylvania. Dr. Learn has had a very creative and diverse career path that has made him a great mentor and resource for early career professionals, and also a wealth of information on specialty toxicology fields. This means Dr. Learn has been able to expand the site offerings at Horsham to include phototoxicology, cellular therapy, gene therapy, nucleic acid and viral vector vaccines, and oncolytic virus safety studies. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Learn.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, Dr. Learn, can you tell us how you initially started your career?
Yeah, thank you for that. And I got a bachelor's degree in biology at Moravian College, a small liberal arts school in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Went to graduate school in medical microbiology at West Virginia University, got my master's degree there, and really wasn't sure of what I wanted to do after I got my master's degree. I worked for a year in the allergy clinical lab and also did research in that lab under Dr. Eric Bristol. And went to medical school for a year, didn't really enjoy the experience and for a lot of reasons, and quit medical school and then went back and got my PhD in medical microbiology looking at one of the Pseudomonas aeruginosa strains that infect kids with cystic fibrosis, and then did a postdoc at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. Looking at neutrophil oxidative metabolism and non-oxidative killing mechanisms and a bunch of other stuff. And really, you know, through all of that, really got involved with talking with a lot of different people and looking at a lot of different areas. And when I finished my postdoc, was looking for a job and ended up at Schering Plough Healthcare Products in Memphis, which was there at that time, and got involved with the development of sunscreens and the chronic and acute effects of ultraviolet radiation, which at that time was in the late 1980s, was a big area of interest for photoaging and some other acute and chronic effects of ultraviolet radiation. And that's really where I started my career in phototoxicology, photobiology, and really a lot of the specialty tox that I started there. And worked there for 10 years doing both acute and chronic effects of ultraviolet radiation effects on skin. Really got involved with talking with the one toxicologist that we had at the site at that time, and really started to broaden my interests in a lot of different areas that working in a pharmaceutical company will allow you to do. Did a bunch of free radical work in sunscreens, looked at acute and chronic effects on the skin, as I said, both in preclinical models and animal models, and also did some clinical work in collaboration with a researcher at Washington University up in St. Louis. Did some topical jellyfish sting prevention work because that was something that we could do with the substantive chemicals that are used in sunscreens. So did a bunch of product development, did a bunch of looking at, you know, client use, customer use of compounds and a bunch of surveys and that kind of thing. So really just did a whole bunch of different things. And then in 1998, an opportunity came about here at what is now Charles River, then was Argus Research Labs in Horsham, Pennsylvania, doing phototoxicology regulatory work, and that's what I decided to make that change and move back to Pennsylvania where I had been born, and also was my wife is from the state. And that was in May of 88 or in May of 98, and I've been here ever since. So that's a brief synopsis of how I got to where I am now.
Wow, that is a very impressive list of many early career different experiences. You briefly touched on this, but can you dive a little bit more into how you went from doing, you know, benchtop photobiology research with only one toxicologist around to being the director at this major specialty center for toxicology research for Charles River?
Yeah, Carolyn, it's a lot of the way that life works is because I wanted a job after my postdoc, and I didn't want to work. You know, again, I didn't want to spend any more time at Sharing Palau Healthcare Products because of some changes that were there from business and that kind of thing. And it gave me the chance to move closer to all of my extended family. And it was always, you know, from interacting with a toxicologist at Sharing Palau, it was always something I was developing an interest in and becoming more interested in it. And the beauty of working in a contract research organization is you get to see so many different things and work on so many different possibilities. And, you know, I had the background to do the phototox, regulatory phototox work, both the acute and chronic stuff. At that time, the site was doing the photocarcinogenesis assays. And it gave me the chance to do that, but then also start to broaden my interests in, you know, not so much reproductive and developmental toxicology, which is what this site has always been known for, but also when people were coming in and asking, well, can we do, you know, work with, you know, with oncogenicity and tumorigenicity from the early cell therapy studies? Well, that all has to be done in neonatal animals, in rats at that time, and also in hamsters. So we had that expertise. So then that was a natural bridge for me to start working into those other areas. And over the years, just started picking off the various subspecialties that came about. And you know, we are a specialty site. We have the expertise and the technology and the people who are willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And also the ability to say, yeah, we can do that, and say, oh, God, how are we going to do that afterwards? But we always figure it out. So that's really how, you know, you start broadening your view, your worldview, and your professional view of just taking advantage of those opportunities as they present themselves.
I mean, it definitely sounds like you have taken advantage of a lot of amazing career-defining opportunities that have led you into your current position. I'm really curious, what is it about this field that's kept your attention for such a long time, and what are some of the things that you love about your job?
So, and thank you for that. But it's really the opportunity to do new and different things. We see so many different things in a CRO, in a contract research organization, so many different, you know, therapeutic classes, so many compounds, so many applications. Those are the things that really, really make it interesting to be involved in one of these organizations, because again, you just see so much. And the other thing that it does is it allows you to have the professional satisfaction of working on a compound, working on a drug that, you know, it may be years later eventually comes out and, you know, gets marketed. And, you know, despite what little part you had in it, you had a little part in that drug and getting that to market and being able to say that, you know, I worked on that or our site worked on that, and you're making a difference in the lives of others. And it's really just a professionally and a really a personal feeling of satisfaction for me to do that. And that's, you know, as I say, when I give presentations, you know, that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. You know, and the other thing is the tagline that I use in my emails is the patient is waiting. You know, they're waiting for us to help in the development of a drug or a therapy that is going to make the difference in the lives of others, not only in those patients, but also in their family and society as a whole. And that's really the thing that, you know, at its core, gives me the satisfaction, the professional and personal satisfaction to do what I'm doing. And it's just a lot of fun to learn all of these different things and new areas of therapy and apply what you know to those things.
I mean, you make it sound like this amazing dream job, yet I know every job has its challenges. Is there anything about your job that you don't love?
Well, it's, you know, it's a job. Yeah, you know, and you know, there's the standard frustrations. And you know, I'm 64 years old, and it's interesting, you talk to people, you know, who have been in careers this long, or even the new ones, and it, regardless of what they do, you know, both of my sons are mechanical engineers. You know, you talk to them and it, with their careers, the one who works in a steel mill, you know, it's the same frustrations with people, because you work with people and with bureaucracies and the seeming inflexibility and the things that stand in your way to want to do things and do them fast and do them most efficiently and effectively. And there's always a roadblock in the way, it seems, to be able to do that. And you have to just step back and it's like, okay, you know, I'm not always right. You know, I have to, you know, at least conform to some degree to make the progress that you have to. So it's just the standard frustrations of a job that really is immaterial to the job itself. It's just, you know, basically interacting with people, but also having the people skills to be able to deal with that. You know, the other side of that is, you know, you get a chance to work with a lot of incredibly talented, you know, both technical staff and scientific people, you know, not only in our site and our organization, but all over the world. But, you know, it's the standard frustrations as much as anything else. You know, there's always a budget problem, and, you know, we work with a lot of different and varied sponsors, and stuff goes wrong and you have to explain it and that kind of thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's always on the black side of the ledger. It's always a positive.
Yeah, I work in the drug development consulting area, and I can share a lot of those same frustrations. So I am curious, your career expertise goes beyond phototoxicity. So what are some of the other specialty toxicology research areas that you've had an impact on in your career?
Yeah, so one of there's several of them, and I'll just go down and just briefly touch on some of these things, because each one of them is a story upon themselves. And one of the things that we've just picked up here in the last 3 or 4 years is doing gene therapy, which is just basically viruses that are genetically engineered to, you know, insert a gene into, you know, ultimately a patient who's missing one. You know, so if there's a patient with, you know, Fabry's disease, for instance, just to pull one, you know, out of my mind, you know, and there's a specific defect, and you engineer a virus to be able to deliver that gene and to basically cure those patients. And it's an area of just profound interest at the moment, and a tremendous amount of work being done all over the world. I mean, that's really one of the interesting things, because a lot of, you know, again, going back to the expertise that our site has with being able to deal with neonatal animals and do litter studies and those kinds of things, and being able to dose day one mouse pups either intravenously through their temporal vein or intracerebral ventricularly into the ventricle of the brain, where a lot of these diseases are central nervous system, you know, effective diseases. So, you know, to be able to develop those techniques and transfer that technology to have, you know, some of our technical staff be able to do this dosing, do all the litter work, and really look for, you know, these are safety studies, so you're looking for adverse effects going out, you know, possibly out to a half a year, depending on what the study design and the therapy and the method of administration and all the other variables that go into developing those programs do. So that's a really, really interesting area of research and making sure that you know where those viral genomes go and that kind of thing. So you get involved with not only just classic toxicology of, you know, clinical chemistry, hematology, pathology, you know, all the other stuff that you look at in a clinical or in a classic tox endpoint, but then there's also the polymerase chain or the PCR reaction stuff that you're looking for to find all of those viral genomes or not, depending on where they go and, you know, behavioral effects and a lot of other things. So that's one area that we've really picked up on over the last several years that I've been very, very involved with in developing. Viral vector vaccine technology, where you're using the virus to deliver a vaccine. We have the ability to do biosafety level 2 work here, which is, you know, ironically, you know, my background in doing medical microbiology comes back. You know, you wouldn't think it would after all of those years.
You still remember it all?
Basically, good clean practices and biosecurity is the same, regardless of whether they've changed the names of half the bacteria that I knew in 1978.
True, true.
But, so it works. So, again, it's a standard. Really, it's a vaccine safety study with a viral component and a biological safety level two laid on top of it. So we've put in all of the requirements that you need for that BSL-2 containment and really make it work and make it happen and oversee that. And I'm a real procedural guy. I'm not one of those people who, I can't sit and think up the grand thoughts, but it's one of the best bosses I ever had when I was at Shearing Plow. What she said was I was her true mechanic, and that's the true sense of the word, that you give me a problem and I'll solve it. And that's why I like developing all of these new methods of doing these evaluations and working with these new technologies and these new therapies, because it gives me that chance to be able to do that. Oncolytic viruses, the same kind of thing. A virus that's been genetically engineered, to go out and find the marker on a tumor and deliver usually an interleukin-1 or something that's going to stimulate the immune system to see that tumor as foreign and to be able to destroy that. And that can be both an efficacy study where you're looking at that tumor in an animal model, usually an immunocompromised animal, which we have a lot of experience with working with here, or it's just a straight up safety study. Is there a problem with it? And then, those are incredibly heavy PCR tissue collection studies. So it's all of the mechanics that go into that to be able to do that. But again, at the end of the day, it's really just a safety study. It's a standard safety study with all of that component laid on top of it, with all the challenges that it has to be able to solve that. Cell therapy study, we started doing this about 12 years ago when this area started to come up. One of the young ladies who reported to me, Shauna Jackman, is now in a corporate role as the subject matter expert of that for all of Charles River, which is always a nice thing to see your people progress on and move up through the process. But again, it's looking at cell therapies. What is that cell going to do when it's put into an animal model? Oftentimes, these are immunocompromised animals, and you're looking at 6 to 9 month studies after a single or a multiple administration, either IV or almost always IV, but there's also other delivery systems methods that we'll use. And again, it's just in all of these, it's just learning something new. It's learning, applying what you know to move into a different area and really to keep the job and the professional development fresh. So those are just some of the things that we do here in a very brief description, along with all the juvenile reproductive and developmental toxicology work that I don't get involved with. So
that's awesome. I think a lot of these fields are something that our early career professionals are not necessarily familiar with. So thank you for going to each one briefly. Ashley, do you have a question about career paths?
Yeah, so I'm curious, given this career path that you've carved for yourself, what advice do you have for early career professionals?
Take advantage of every opportunity you're given. Regardless of whether you think it's something you may want to do, always explore it. Always go on that job interview, whether at least talk to them. Jesse Jenkins, who was a pediatric cardiac pathology specialist who was at West Virginia and then moved to St. Jude right before I started my postdoc, and who my wife actually worked with the entire time that she was there, always said as good career advice, again, listening to mentors, always go on that job interview. Always, if someone approaches you or you see something that's interesting, talk to them about it, because you never know what door that's going to open. And just take advantage of all of those opportunities that you get, and find what you're comfortable with. And it may be not what you train for. Certainly it isn't for me, but I've always taken advantage of those opportunities that I've either made for myself or, quite honestly, I've just stumbled onto. And just continue to do that and keep your options open. You know, some people like to do the same thing their entire lives, and that's fine. And, you know, I've taken advantage of a lot of different things that I could do, and that's fine too. It's, you have to be comfortable with it, and you have to be excited to, you know, to go to work every day. And if it's, if you're not excited to do that and you dread it, then maybe that's the time to look at something else that you want to try to do, and you know, take advantage of those. You know, go to meetings, go talk to people. You know, you see something interesting, always try to get in contact with them. Have a business card. You know, give people, especially young professionals or graduate students or even undergraduate students, have a business card so, you know, people you're talking to can remember you. And always ask them for a business card and always follow up with them. So you are always having that relationship and building those networks to be able to do that. You know, those are the things that are important.
All right. So there's often a discussion about whether or not someone should or should not do a postdoc after their PhD. Do you think it's necessary for your trajectory, and was it necessary for your trajectory? So if you could talk about that whole question in one, that'd be great.
It's something that I get asked, you know, should I get a PhD? Should I get, you know, do a postdoc? You know, and the question, and again, going back to mentors and collaborators and friends, you know, Andy Kiorpas, who's a pathologist, a veterinarian and a pathologist, good friend of mine, you know, when we were having this discussion about, not myself, but just in general, and he made a very good point, and he said, what do you want to do with it? What are you going to do with that postdoc? You know, what are you going to do with that PhD? So in one instance, we have a young woman who's working here. You know, she asked me that same question. You know, Rachel has a master's in toxicology. And I said, well, what are you going to do with a PhD? What do you need it for? You know, are you going to go the academic track? Do you really need it? You know, you have to answer those questions of what you need that degree or that postdoc for, and what is it going to buy you versus the investment in time and money that it's going to make, that it's going to take to do it. And you can always make more money, but you can't make more time. So from a non-academic environment, that postdoc may not be that important. In an academic environment, it may be. You know, it just depends on what you want to do for a career path. And maybe if you want to do a postdoc and go investigate a completely different area, or an area that's sort of kind of related to what you did your PhD with, mm-hmm. by all means, do it. But again, it comes down to just an answer that people have to make on their own, but with the counsel and the guidance of someone who can ask those questions, or at least put those questions in their mind about what is the benefit of doing that postdoc going to get you in a career.
So is it the same answer for you? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
You know, which is sort of an answer that's not an answer, but it really is, you know, the point is that at the end of the day, it's your decision.
Is that same thing true for a DABT?
Well, a DABT, especially for young professionals, I think is a worthwhile thing to do because, mm-hmm. you know, going back to the old guild system, you know, in Europe with the crafts and that kind of thing, you know, it buys you a bit of gravitas. It's you're then a member of the guild. You know, I came to regulatory tox, you know, in my late 40s, and you know what, it wasn't going to behoove me to really do it. It was sort of on the plan, but then life got in the way and I didn't do it. But I think a DABT, especially for a young person whose, you know, cortex is plastic enough to remember all of that stuff and achieve it, I think is a worthwhile thing to do, especially if you want to be in regulatory or industrial toxicology, because it is looked upon as an accomplishment, really, and as a measure of dedication to the field.
Awesome. So it sounds like you have a very busy and fulfilling career, but I'm curious what some of your hobbies are. What do you do for fun outside of work?
Well, one of the things that I do, and I've been doing it for, you know, my older son's 31, 32, 31, is I do a lot of blacksmithing. I have my own standalone blacksmith shop in my house, and it was just something that I got involved with when I was in Memphis at the and I took a class at the National Ornamental Metal Museum, which is in Memphis. And they had a blacksmith shop that was actually built by Sharon Plow Healthcare Products by a donation, a very generous donation by Sharon Plow. And got involved there, took classes, ended up taking classes, was on the board. I've been involved with the International Blacksmithing Associations, my local ones. I do a lot of teaching and that kind of thing. And it's just something that's fun because it's something completely different than what I do for a living. Gets me involved and exposed to completely different people than, you know, the profession that I'm in. And it's just a great release and the ability to apply myself to something else. So I do a lot of that. You know, we have a good garden at home. You know, I like to cook, so I like to eat, so I like to cook and that kind of thing. So those are the kinds of things that I enjoy, along with sharing my life with my bride of 37 years.
This all sounds amazing, and I kind of have this feeling like we should get one of your blacksmith pieces and use them for one of our prizes for our early career professional events, if you're ever interested. But this
why,
has
am I
been
not, why am I not surprised at that?
I think it'd be really cool. But this has been a very wonderful and informative discussion, and we hope our listeners, especially our early career professionals, have been inspired like we have to think creatively about our careers in toxicology. Thank you so much, Dr. Learn, for participating in this podcast, and thank you to our audience for listening.
Thank you all. I appreciate the opportunity. Take care. Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by the American College of Toxicology, whose mission is to educate, lead, and serve professionals in toxicology and related disciplines by promoting the exchange of information and perspectives on applied toxicology and safety assessment. For more information, please visit www.actox.org.